And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Again, home tonight of the Padres and Mets postseason baseball. So cool to have the Padres part of that. Mightier 1090, that's the home for the game tonight at 4 o'clock. So we're certainly excited about that. We're excited to talk to you, man. Big show going on today. Lots of fun. It's just Corey and I having fun, talking fishing, talking to you. Whatever you want, that's what we're doing today. Lots of fun. Phones are packed. We've had some great reports, and I'm just stoked for another hour with you here, Corey.
I know. It's so much fun, and you want to join us, 213-432-1090 is the telephone number here. Let's Talk Hookup, or you can text us via the app. And only done through the app, make sure you leave your name and telephone number on the texting. At the end of the show, we're going to flip a coin, and between the texter and the caller, we're going to give away a full-day trip on to San Diego out of Seaford.
Yeah,
how cool is that?
Huge news for sure. Yeah, right. A big trip for somebody. Hey, speaking of cool opportunities, Pete mentioned it last week, but our big trip to Katmai Lodge in Alaska, July 15 through the 22, it was completely sold out. They hired a couple of new guides for the 2023 season.
Yeah.
And it basically allowed for another couple of spots. So the trip was sold out. Now they can take up to four more anglers. So if you want to join us on that big trip to Katmai next year, just check out katmailodge.com. A great opportunity. But yeah, you can link them from the Let's Talk Hookup website.
And Katmai, Rick, is where the brown bears are.
Yeah.
I mean, where the Brooks Falls,
uh-huh.
Am I right?
Yep, yeah, all that.
Wow.
Like, it's a really
Nat
special...
Nat Geo, like a Nat Geo type thing.
That name sometimes gets thrown around.
Yeah.
That's it, dude. That
right.
is it. Dal and I went several years ago. It's where we got engaged. And one day we saw 17 different brown bears.
Wow.
We saw 23 in the trip that we were there. But one day we went way up the river and, like... It's a trip. So the Alagnac River, which is the river that you fish on, it has the highest, I believe this, and Bob would know for sure, but I believe I got the stat right. It's the highest by volume, by number of fish, sockeye salmon river in the whole world. Like,
that's
the most.
Crazy.
And, like, those things know that, and they come from literally hundreds of miles to that river for that time.
That's crazy.
To eat those fish. And, I mean, I know it's bears, obviously, it's, you know, you got to be careful and all those things that you're supposed to say. Those things don't give a rip that you're there. They are there
so
for
focused.
Those fish, and that's what they do. And which makes it really cool, because you're fishing from a skiff, or you're fishing on a sandbar, or whatever, and like, whoop, there they go, dude. There's a mother and two yearlings, like, going to go set up over here to fish. And I know I've told the story before, but we got to watch just the raddest thing. So we were anchored, call it in the middle of the river. We were kind of like anchored up on this little sandbar, and we were fishing chum salmon, which I had the most fun doing. It's the lesser desirable eating fish, but we already had a box full of killer chrome sockeyes, and these chums pull so hard, Corey. They
wow.
pull so hard. Dal and I were both fishing, but both fly in conventional, but having more fun spinning rod yeah. fishing. These are like an 8-foot Luma spinning rod, a 2500 sized reel, probably 30-pound braid, and a little, you know, little piece of fluoro. And we were fishing these. It was like a fly. Almost think of it like a hair jig.
Okay.
You know, something like that.
Yeah.
And we'd flip it up current, and we'd kind of drift it back through, and they would just.
Ooh,
they would hammer it.
Wow.
So while we were in this spot of, I wouldn't call it wide open, but very good fishing. It was very calm, and we had a bunch of doubles. While we were doing this, ashore from us, dude, like 30 feet maybe,
yeah.
there was this brown bear that would get up on this little perch and would dive in the water, like Superman dive, both
like,
hands forward, pounce on a fish that was deep. You know, it was probably 5 or 6 feet of water. Pounce on it, grab it, walk up to the top of the perch, just only eat the guts out of it. Like, wasn't eating the whole fish, would just eat the guts out of it, then get back on the perch and do it again. Did it 9 times in a row. We got all kinds
cool.
of video and footage and just sat back. hanging out. It's such a cool, special place.
How cool is that? Wow.
We saw moose and we saw bear and bald eagle like they're going out of style. It's a really, really cool spot.
And is this, I hear Pete and you talk about it, is this the place where the mouse pattern, yes, rainbow trout?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, my
totally.
Lord, dude.
Totally.
Like frog fishing for huge rainbows.
Those guys don't even, I mean, like, they don't get the camera ready unless it's a 28-inch trout. You know what I mean? It's just
dude,
like,
that's a legal white sea bass.
And it's just, it's so cool. And the other thing that I, as like kind of a neophyte to fly fishing, like a fish that kind of gets like dismissed up there is a grayling. And I've, as a little kid, I've always thought that was the coolest looking fish with that big giant dorsal fin.
Yeah.
In it. It's the raddest fish for somebody like me on a fly rod who's not an expert, but really like, especially fishing in a setting up there. You're in a Bitchin' River, killer weather, you're way up there. Grayling are, they're dummy proof. Like if you know, a big wily wise 28 inch, 15 pound rainbow, it's probably only going to give you one good shot on the fly. And if you flub it, then it's on to the next one. Those graylings, like if you fire a dry fly in there and you get a rad visual bite, but you miss them, dude, you fire right back in there, he's going to bite it the next time.
Really?
Like they just give you a few more shots. And they're so cool looking. Yeah. And the cool thing about there is you kind of just decide what you want to go do. So it's fun. You're there for several days and you do whatever type of fishing you did that day. Well, that evening, there's a killer common area. Maybe you're having a glass of wine. Maybe you're, you know, having a cocktail and you're BSing with all the guys and they told you about this killer king salmon fishing that they did where they were trolling plugs in a lure and you decide, man, that sounds rad. Well, the next day, you can get with your guide and decide, hey, man, I heard about those guys, you know, that were trolling those plugs from the, you know, and, okay, yeah, we'll go do that. And then, you know, when you came back the next day, you heard some stories from the other people that were way up in the braids fishing trout, and they caught all those
wow.
up there. So it's just, it's rad. You can kind of pick and choose. If you're a guy that knows, you know, hey, I'm up here for this. Well, that's fine. You can do that all those days. But when Dallas and I went, we just wanted to do something different every day to kind of experience all the different fisheries. And I think Dallas liked the chums more than anything else. I really liked fishing those sockeyes. The grayling was like a huge thing. That was like way on my hit list. It's just a really special spot.
It sounds incredible to me. I mean, that just, and I think the cool thing for some people is you're not dealing with the ocean conditions.
Totally.
You're on a huge river.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got its own conditions because you're up there. I mean, you are up there. It is remote. It's going to rain. You know what I mean? Like one of those things, like our weather was definitely good, but you know, you just need to plan on all things. And they provide everything. They have high-end waders. They have the boots. They have the rain gear. Like obviously bring your own stuff if you've got, you know, some killer APCO set that's, you know, that you love. But you know, you're gonna get a little bit of everything up there. It's a really special.
That sounds
one.
Like
totally.
Fun.
Yeah.
The fact that out of the couple boats and can accommodate four more people.
Yeah, totally. It will sell out. There's no question. You know, it's more so like we're putting it out in hopes that it sells out from some of our Let's Talk Hookup family, somebody who wants to come join us. There is no question it will sell out based on where it is and what it is. It's a, you know, pretty prime time of year. So, I just hope it's one of the friends from the family that comes and join us and get in on the action.
And so they just click on the tab off of the website?
You can go to Katmai's website or just, you know, jump on ours, go to the Katmai Lodge tab under our links page, and it'll get you right through and talk to Charmel and, get your spot, man. Come fishing with us. It's going to be fun.
That sounds pretty neat, Rick.
Totally. Well, the phones are packed up. Corey, let's jump into them.
Let's go to Gary. Gary Cohn from San Diego. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us, Gary.
Good morning, guys. Good
morning.
Good morning. Hey, I had a question for Corey. I like to go to different places, and I know a while back he was going to lead a group down to Black Bass Lodge. Are you still going to do that, or do you think that's on the table?
So that never went through because of, the quote-unquote pandemic and that whole issue there. And that was with Bill Barney, and I don't know if that's still in the works, but for those that don't know, that's a guy that's got a cool little place and property in Abre Ojos. I have been down there a dozen times in my life, and it's one of the coolest spots for surf fishing. It's crazy because I've talked to 20 people that have been down there, maybe not 20, but, you know, up there in the teens, amount of people that have been down there, Gary, and very few, like none of them, have surf fished. And they
really?
they all go down there to go ponga fishing.
Right.
And I have never, ever stepped on a boat down there. I have spent 10 days down there, and it's all 100% surf fishing, the most incredible short fin corvina, up to 6 pounds, halibut fishing. We've had sessions where we've had 15 or 20 halibut, you know, like a dozen of those being legit legal, like nice fish. They catch snook from the surf. We never did. I never have. It's a really unique, neat place. We've caught sand bass, these weird fish called burrito grunts.
Oh, really?
You'll have to look them up. They look like a big black drum. You know, they're maybe like 10 pounds. It's a really unique fishery, and no matter which way the wind or the swell, if it's a south swell, you're kind of messed up, but if it's a westerly swell, you can hide from it all toward the Coyote Lagoon, and that's a whole other thing right there, Gary, is fishing from... you can hire a ponga or even fish it from the shore, La Bocana Lagoon or Coyote Lagoon, and... the small broomtail grouper fishing,
dude,
and the corvina fishing from the lagoon.
I want to do that so bad.
I if I can say this on air, it's badass. Like it is seriously.
You definitely can say that here because that's what it sounds like.
The small broomtail grouper fishing is like catching spotted bay bass and calicos. We never caught one over 6 pounds. They're most of them are like 2 to 5 pounds. But it's the coolest thing ever. You don't know if you're going to get a halibut. You know, in the lagoon, we caught halibut, we caught short fin corvina, and those broomtail and spotted bay bass like galore. And it's just it's a really unique, neat fishery that's a 12-hour drive from home. Period.
Yeah, that's sick. Yeah. Oh my God, I want to do that.
Yeah, pretty neat, Gary. But, the whole Black Bass Lodge thing is just a place to stay, and the fishing's up to you. But, man, I hope you get back down there at some point, Rick. It's just it's a neat ghetto. We talked about it yesterday. I love Baja. I love the people of Baja.
Yeah.
And once you're exiting Tijuana and you get to Ensenada, it's twice as good. And you get from Ensenada to San Quintin, like in the Don Eddy's neighborhood,
yeah,
and it's a
different world.
It's a different planet.
Yeah,
it's,
and people are cool, and the fishing's great, and the food's killer, and life slows to a little easier pace, and
much easier.
Yeah,
and the smiles are as the grins are as big as ear to ear, and their hearts are warm and they're welcoming. It's just it's a beautiful place for me to be, and yeah, it's all good times.
That's
I
rad.
Love it.
That's rad. Well said. Awesome. Well, great call, Gary. Appreciate the phone call very much. Let's jump back into him, Corey.
How about Roy? Roy calling from San Diego. Appreciate you joining us, Roy.
Hi, Roy.
Is Roy
looks like
with us?
We might have lost Roy there, so why don't we grab another?
No.
Oh, there he is. Hey, sorry, Roy. My bad. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, sorry. Good to get it. Mainly for Rick here. I'm going on a Liberty on Tuesday. And so
nice.
I haven't been there since they put the new parking stuff in. Can you tell me a little about the parking? And that's the one they have. Liberty has the bunks, right? So we just go on and get the bunks. And then last of all, if I'm going to do fish processing, do I leave the fish whole or do I have them gill and gut it?
Great questions all the way around. I'll give you my exact take on parking. I was very frustrated when the parking first changed, like anything. You know, I'm used to things being done the way they were for the last X amount of years, and so that's what I wanted. I've since come to be so much happier with it. I mean, it for sure is better.
Rick, I see better angles, really.
Yeah.
I see it better.
I don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this because this is the PC answer. When it first happened, I was like, this is BS. So a couple of things that had happened. One, the Westies lot that was across the street that used to be free, which obviously we all like that better. Now it's a pay lot. Cost the same as it always did. Cost the same as parking inside, $12 a day. But the difference is what we didn't realize was so many people were using that lot not as fishermen. Long-term, people maybe crashing in the car, RVing, people going to the airport and, you know, going over there just free and catching a $5 Uber. The second that that became a pay sport fishing lot, there's twice as much space. Same thing with that strip lot that's kind of in front of Pizza Nova. So where I was frustrated that there was lesser free parking, now there's a lot more available fisherman parking. It's $12 a day. What's different is there's no longer a paid kiosk when you're leaving the lot at Fisherman's Landing. Now you pay on the front side instead of at the back side.
Rick, that darn, I didn't realize what a pain in the rear having a kiosk to exit was. Like, literally, there was one exit. If the half-day boats and the full-day boats both came in and there was
you get caught in the line.
Dude, 50 cars trying to exit the lot.
Well,
and imagine a minute per each car, right?
Well, here's why, and here's the other thing that's nice about it, is the reason that there was that line is it's 2022. Like, when you buy something nowadays, you just throw it on your debit card. You do your Apple Pay. You do whatever. Like, so many people are of that mindset. Well, the kiosk was cash only. So you're 10 back in line. A guy came back from three-quarter day, like, I don't have any cash. I gave it to the crew. Like, well, so then the line would have to stop. Everybody back up. That guy would run up to the ATM.
Yeah.
Now it's all just done with your card or cash. So there's a parking kiosk right at there's one at all three landings. The one at Fisherman's is right up right in front of the block wall, kind of where they weigh all the fish up. You know, where they hang the big ones upside down. So you can just you can put your cash or your card into that machine and get your you just punch in your license plate and then how many days I'm going to be here for 2 days, punch in 2 days. It's $12 a day. And you go that route. Or every parking light, there's like one of those little QR codes, like you'd scan it for a menu or something like that. And you're going to scan it with your phone and electronically you can pay for it. But you just punch in your license plate number and the amount of time that you need it for. And that's it. You don't even need to put your ticket on the dash. I still do because I'm a weirdo and old school, I guess. But like, so I usually put my little receipt on the dash if I'm going on a trip. But you don't need to. Like, basically, once you punch your license plate information into there, that system knows that license plate is good for 3 days. And like, how it's patrolled is basically a car drives by that's got
a license
reader. Yeah, exactly. And it just it reads that and it reads license plate 1234 and okay, yeah, that guy's good for 2 days. And if it finds one that's not, then they'll get out and assess whatever the ticket is or anything like that. But, yeah, it's all done on the front side now instead of the back.
And the coolest part of it all is you can exit three different areas of a lot.
Yeah,
there's
totally.
No wait. You're in and out, and I think it's made it simpler.
Yeah, again, I fought it. I didn't like it. Now, having seen what it did for a crazy busy summer, it opened up a lot more parking. So, again, I switched my tune. I was a hater of it, and honestly, I'm not. In terms of the bunk, you'll take care of all that when you get there. Those guys, just like we all heard the other reports, they're rad. When you go into the landing, you'll purchase your ticket, and then at the top of the dock, they'll have a little table set up with a sign that says Liberty, and those guys will basically sign you into the boat. They'll get you your number, your fish tag style number. They'll take care of bunk and all that kind of stuff right when you get there. So, anyways, you got a great trip in front of you, Roy, for sure.
And they still offer the shower?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what a cool deal, right? On a full-day trip.
I know that some protocols changed for some boats based on COVID stuff, but as far as I know, all of that is still available. I think with any type of bunk scenario, now you're on your own for bringing, your own beddings and things like that. I think that's one of the things that COVID didn't allow us to do. But, as far as I know, everything's still on the table, man.
What a cool thing.
It's awesome.
For a full-day trip to offer a shower and a bunk. I mean, come on.
You had a big day of tuna fishing,
right?
And you caught a gill gaff shot fish. And it blooded you up and whatnot, and you got a 3-hour run home. You can grab a shower, you can rack out for a couple hours, and you drive back up the line. Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
That's pretty neat, no doubt.
Hey, Roy, appreciate it very much, man. You're in for a good one.
Yeah, good time.
All right, well, let's find out what's going on the water, Corey.
Yeah.
It's time.
It's the one and only Dave Hansen himself, and the Catch Report is sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fishman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, Fish Pros to Market. You can purchase their fresh fish, their smoked, their jerkied fish, their spices, rubs. Man, their smoked cheese, their tuna burgers, poke kit, Don't forget about their ceviche cat either, Rick. Man, it's good stuff. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street. We'll order online at fishmansprocessing.com. And be sure, we've talked about it many, many times, be sure to make your reservations. Text them. You can text Fishman's Processing at 619-255-3128. You want to? If you're going next year on a trip, make sure you secure it now.
No such thing as too early making a reservation on that. Hey, let's talk to him. Your saltwater guide is on the line with our fishdope.com report. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
What's up, buddy? Absolutely the most phenomenal week in the history of my life.
Okay.
We had a beautiful baby granddaughter on Thursday.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Absolutely the most perfect little girl in the whole world. Little baby Zaya. She is Zaya. Absolutely. She's got me. It's over.
That's cool, buddy. Congratulations.
She is pretty spectacular. So it's been just a phenomenal week. And then as far as the fishing goes, my goodness. Corey and I and Rick's favorite fish in the whole world is biting all over the place. Calico. I know everybody's talking about Dorado and Bluefin, but my goodness, the calico bass fishing is just absolutely off the hook all over the place. We've been blessed a little bit of smaller bait down there in San Diego that we haven't had that big bait. They've had some of that smaller sardine, and that has really turned the fishing on big time. I heard one of my clients and friend of the show's talking about green tanks, five tanks, the pipe, all that stuff at Point Loma has been biting very, very well. And like Corey said, the best part of calico bass fishing is getting them out of the weeds or getting them out of the rocks. That's why we do it. That's what
fun.
It's all about for us. That's so the guy that was talking about that, that's the whole thing. That's why we all love it so much, because it's so technical and it's so different than any other kind of fishing, because you're throwing your weedless or you're throwing whatever you are into the structure to try to get that fish to come out and eat it. And the first thing he does when he eats, it goes right back into the structure. So you got to figure out, and I got plenty of videos on my website to teach them how to do that. They just haven't got deep enough in there to look around and see. And then as far as offshore goes, like Brian Woolley was saying, my goodness, we got a total rebite on that Dorado right back where it started at. I guess it swam up the coast, ate all the bait, came back down to where it found all the bait when it first got here, and it decided to hang out there, and it's been just phenomenal offshore fishing for Dorado again. And then over at Clemente, that fish is behind the island now, and it's all that big fish. It's the same cycle we've been in for the last 6 years, that big, giant bluefin for us. We got to remember, East Coast, these are little bluefin, but for us, these are giant bluefin, and they're biting every technique you can imagine. The dead flying fish, the rubber flying fish, the California flyer, the flat fall, the knife jig. It's doing everything that you bought all that stuff for. And Mad Mac, one of our clients was out yesterday, got two on the Mad Mac inside of Catalina. So it's just absolutely amazing fishing. And then the amount of fish down below that are coming, the yellowfin trickling into our area. And that yellowfin, like Corey was saying, you don't know. You could catch a 20-pounder or you catch an 80-pounder. It's just the weirdest year. 2022 is going to go down at one of the most magnificent years in Southern California. And if you have not gone out there and seen what's going on, we got a big influx of marlin in our water. And October historically has always been the best month in Southern California for marlin fishing. And that fish is inside of Catalina from the east end of Catalina into the 267 and on up to the 14. And now we got, like Ricky was talking about, we got this swordfish starting to make his appearance, and it's probably going to be just a phenomenal October, November for that swordfish thing. But all the real hot dog swordfish guys are still catching giant bluefin, so it's really hard to tell what's going on.
Totally. It's firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, one more thing. My wife is very upset that she's stuck in Cabo taking care of the monkey, because she hears about how good this calico bass fishing is, and Kelly Girl's favorite fish to fish for is calico bass.
Right. That's good times right there.
I get it, Dave. Well, certainly, I mean, as you reported, great fishing, all spots, all directions. If somebody wants to keep up with the right techniques on how to catch them, Mad Mackin', spreader barring, flyer fishing, California flyer fishing, how do we find you and the videos that teach us how to do it?
All right, and you can go to yoursaltwaterguide.com. I got everything you need to be successful. We have a great series of videos with Ricky teaching you how to tie all the bitchin' knots you need to know, especially as we get into this bigger fish. You're going to have to be really technical on your knots, and you can go watch Ricky teach you how to tie all the knots. We have 450 how-to videos on the website, yoursaltwaterguide.com. And if you're on any social media at all, it's almost impossible not to see me. I pop up on everybody's phone every day. Everyone, all my friends are like, Jesus, Dave, enough's enough.
Oh, man. That's good stuff, Dave.
Dave, excellent job. As always, we appreciate it. We appreciate all the good information. And, you know, those are the things that you get from Dave Hansen. And the great fishing part of it, again, you always always do such a good job spreading, you know, pushing whatever info you can to Danny and the boys at fishdope.com, which you can get save $20 off a new membership to Fishdope using the code HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space, saves you $20 off a new membership. Dave, great report. As always, look forward to it. Look forward to seeing the next report, and look forward to talking next week. It's going to be a tough one to top next week.
Yeah, well, but I don't think we're having another grandbaby next week. So
you're right about that.
Well,
congratulations,
it's all
buddy.
Be about Zaya. All right. See you guys. Thanks. Right.
Appreciate that very much.
That's good stuff right there. Hey, we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. More from Rick and myself when we return on Let's Talk Hookup after Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I got to tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop, like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling i11S and made it even better, then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs. Featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair style seat that is comfortable. Or the all-new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand-up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop. Right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at fastlanekayaking.com.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Llanero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know. It's intimate. It's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name. Well, truly at Rancho Llanero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Llanero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAHA. And RanchoLanero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Llanero.
Lobster season is here. It's time to gear up with the best in the business. Promar, based in SoCal. Promar knows lobster and makes everything you need to catch these tasty critters. The Promar guys are hardcore lobster fishermen and have designed the most successful hoop nets and accessories on the market, including the new Ambush XLHD, 23-pound, 36-inch rigid hoop net, the largest allowed by law. Visit Promar on Facebook or on the web at promarahi.com. Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer.
Saturday, November 5th is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Come see seminars by saltwater experts, great deals on tackle from Shimano, like Terramar rods with TC4 blank construction. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 5th.
So let's talk hookup, Rick. Having so much fun. I want to remind our listeners that about Terrafin and focusing your offshore fishing on the best areas. by using Terrafin charts and Terrafin temperature, chlorophyll, and more. Terrafin is the professional's choice for dependability and accuracy. Now with Terrafin mobile, you can download it. It's super cool. You can download it. Get your latest charts on the iPad or your iPhone or Android device. Check Terrafin.com for more information. And this time of the year, man, that's those temperature breaks and all that stuff is where they get them.
Yeah, so critical. During the break, I got a text from Dallas. We were talking about it, and there's a story that like I would be a fool not to retell when we were up there. So,
About Katmai.
Yeah, about Katmai. Yeah, about the Katmai trip. And like I said, grayling was a thing that like most people overshadow because it's not, you know, they don't get 20 pounds.
It's not a target species.
Ever since I was like a little kid, I wanted to catch one of those. Like I can remember vividly, my dad had one of those like Peterson's like field, you know, fish ID books. Yeah. And like I remember as a little kid, like flipping through the pictures and always like, dude, that's a fish I want to catch. Like they're just cool looking. Like I've always thought that was such a rad looking fish.
Dude, they're like a sailfish.
So
it's,
bitchy.
It's like a freshwater.
Yes.
Dude, do they jump?
They for sure. Instantly. Oh, really? Yeah, they're so cool, dude. And nobody cares about them. Really. So anyways, Dallas knew that was something like I really wanted to do. So we go way up. And of course, the day that we planned to fish those things, it was freezing out. We were way up the river, which that is so sick too. We didn't talk about that. That is one of those jet powered outboards. So it looks like a normal outboard, but with no propeller. It's run by a jet. Dude, we ran in so many stretches of river that was
like 12 inches.
Dude, 6 inches. I mean, I'm Corey, like a comical, like wow. Like a riffle, you know, like a riffle of the what they're not dry rocks, but it damn near looks like it. Drive right through it like nothing. Really, really fun. So we get all the way up there. Dude, it is the coldest day. It is the coldest day ever up there. I had mentioned that, like, they provide all the gear for you. Dallas brought her own waders up there wanting, you know, just like, oh, I'm a girl. I want to make sure that these things fit just right. So, anyway, she brings her own gear up there. It's good, you know, good waders. We're fishing. We're doing our thing. And, like, they're biting. Like, they're biting. And, like, I caught a bunch. And Dallas like, oh, I'm going to take a break. I'm just going to go kind of hang out in the boat and get something to eat, which is – that's just, like, the opposite of my wife. She's so into it, so into fishing and up there. And I'm just like, this is the greatest day ever. And she's like, you know, do you want to jump back in and fish or bite? She goes, no, I'm good. I'm going to hang out. She knew, like, how stoked I was to be up there and catch those things that she didn't bother telling us that she had a hole in her waders.
No.
Completely filled up with water.
Right.
Dude, it was, Corey, freezing. It was freezing out. Obviously,
poor Dallas.
Obviously, the second I found out, I'm like, dude, we're freaking out of here. But, like, she wouldn't say anything. I went back to the boat, you know, at some point we were having lunch, and she's, like, shivering. Cold. I'm like, what is wrong? She goes, like, I think that my, you know, I feel like moisture. I'm like, you know, dude. This poor girl was, like, in hypothermia. I mean, she wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, but freezing. We go back
poor
to lodge
Dallas.
And hot shower. It was a really fun, special, you know what I mean? Like, that part, obviously, not fun. But it just, like, added to the story and being up there. It's just, that place is just, it like, resonates with me. It's really special. So, again, I just hope that somebody's able to join us in that Katmai trip. It's a really fun one, for sure.
I actually had a text, Rick, that's kind of fitting for the discussion here. And this comes from Alex in San Carlos. And he says, good morning, guys. Rick, you seem to be the guru when it comes to Alaskan trips. And I think possibly, Rick, I can say you're the guru because you've done quite a few in different areas of Alaska, right? So Alex wants to know, can you tell me where you like to book and if I need to bring my own gear? He says, great show.
That's awesome, Alex. And I think the beauty of it up there is you can kind of decide what you want to do. Been crazy fortunate to get to go to a lot of cool places up there. Not as many as some, but a bunch. And I've never lost sight of how lucky I've gotten to be up there. I think it depends a little bit on what you want your trip up to Alaska to be.
Like big halibut or big salmon.
Right. Or do you want all scenery or do you want to go crazy off the beaten path? I think day in, day out, a very difficult place to beat is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. It's very easy to travel to. It's in Sitka. It's in the southeast. You hop on a flight to Seattle. It's a couple of hours. You hop on another flight from Seattle right into Sitka. Again, another couple hours. The travel's broken up real easy. The lodge is fantastic. The service is really good. The gear is excellent. I mean, you don't need to bring anything. If you don't want to bring your boots, they got boots. If you don't want to bring rain gear, they got rain gear. If you don't want to bring your tackle, they got tackle. Like, I being a tackle snob, you know, being around fishing tackle my whole life, I don't bring anything with me. It's really, really good. So I would say that's probably day in and day out my most common answer. The fishing is usually spectacular, and the service is the same. So that's a favorite, and it's very easy to travel to. With that said, it is it's not off the beaten path. It's beautiful. It's in Southeast, which has the big trees and all the islands. A really unique experience might be Whaler's Cove. You know, that's kind of a mix of way off the beaten path. The fishing, I would say, is good. I don't know if it's quite as good, but it's still very, very good. But you're staying on a remote island, and the whale show was off the charts. Yeah, it's really in there. And Whaler's Cove, such a cool place if you wanted to take somebody, if you wanted to take your gal with you, if she wasn't into, because Sitka is ocean fishing, and it can get rough, you know, like anywhere else, where Whaler's Cove is way up the inside passage. So you're still catching halibut and salmon and rock cod and ling cod,
but it's protected.
You're like section. 90 miles from the ocean.
That's so,
I mean, it's
crazy.
flat calm.
Crazy.
So that's a really cool one.
And which one is that?
That's Whaler's Cove.
Whaler's
that's
Cove,
in
okay.
Angoon, Alaska. Like, yeah. You fly into Juneau, and then it's a real quick shot over to there. The one I haven't done, but, you know, Pete has talked about, and is who our guest for next weekend, Valerie Hoprich, from Queen Charlotte Safari. Not in Alaska, like a couple of long football throws, and you would be, you know, they're in the Queen Charlotte's just below the Alaska border. I think they're less than 100 miles.
You're literally a cast link from Alaskan waters.
But,
same fish.
But you get the better limits, you know.
Which,
like,
is crazy.
Their limits are a lot more liberal than they are in Alaska.
So Canadians are more, like, maybe receptive to tourism, maybe? I mean, is that...
Hard to say. Like, Alaska's number one, you know, export is
still
commercial fishing. And so they rightly so, regulate their fishery very tightly.
Yeah.
And,
which is good.
It is good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the reason Sitka has been so good for so many years is it's very well managed. And sometimes it's frustrating when you got to kick back this fish or that one. But, like, we have never gone on a trip to Kingfisher Charters and not brought back a box full of killer fish to enjoy with ourselves and our friends and our family and all that kind of stuff.
Dude, there is nothing better eating than a wild salmon, like, period, end of the story. So you mentioned Katmai Lodge.
Mm-hmm. Wilderness, coolest thing ever.
On a river.
All river, all freshwater, best for wildlife, long ways away.
Sitka, which is easy to get to.
And spectacular fishing.
Whaler's Cove, which is 90 miles up and kind of protected.
Fishing,
but ocean.
Still good, maybe not as good, maybe better sometimes. You know how that goes.
So that's
a little bit different.
Whaler's Cove, and then you mentioned Queen Charlotte's.
Mm-hmm.
So those are like the four main.
Those are certainly the four that we have done the most of our business with. And I'm not saying that for any sponsor reason, just that those are the ones that I have spent the most time with or know the people of, and just so confident in saying, hey, man, scope those ones. Now, these ones are killer.
And they're legit operations.
Sure. And I know that there's hundreds and thousands of others that are missing. I'm not saying that for any reason. Just don't have any personal experience.
And I've heard Valerie talk about it, which is cool. She's into the wine thing.
Right.
And she offers the Canadian wines and the beauty of just you have a lady's touch on your lodging,
totally.
and the food is top level chef stuff, and like if you wanted to take your wife, that would probably be the place.
No doubt. Yep.
Yeah.
No doubt
how
about
neat.
It. That's cool. Well, hey, with that said, we got a call from our good buddy Captain Mike from the Tribute is on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're doing excellent. How are you this morning?
Doing good. Talk to Tyler, not much going on here yet this morning. Yesterday, just in general, the last several trips. I know I called last weekend trying to push Sunday and Tuesday's trips, but we have had just absolutely phenomenal fishing. 28-passenger charter yesterday at Limited Dorado, 75 yellowfin, 15 skipjack and 3 yellowtail. the trip before that, I mean, we've been looking at limits of bluefin, limits of dorado, and that yellowfin fishing is, you get on the right school and it's just as good. I mean, it's good.
That's so rad. Right? And we talked about it, too. The grade of that yellowfin is not like it was at the very beginning of the season when we were seeing those little five-pounders. I mean, there's some legit fish to be had right now.
Yeah, some of these yellowfin have been really nice. And it's been like that throughout the year. You know, you see some of those, you know, we talked about it earlier on, some of the yellowfin in the night bites that come up, and you're like, you know, you think it's a 60-pound bluefin at color. You're like, wow, look at that fish.
So rad.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's the same thing that we've experienced, I think, the last several seasons. You start, you know, guys are like, oh, man, season's over. It's October. I'm like, I don't know who said that, but that's definitely not the case. I mean, you know, we're full for tonight's trip. Tuesday night's a go, plenty of room on it. Thursday night still has a little bit of room. The weekend's full. So, I mean, it's, you know, if you want to get out on a trip, you better book early. We had guys earlier in the week, we were struggling, I think, for Tuesday night's trip. We had one reservation, and we got out with 30 people. So, it's, you know, you get a lot of this, guys, this time of year, waiting to the last minute to see what the fish counts are like. But then, you know, you end up getting stuck on the sidelines.
Yeah. I mean, I'm shocked that with fishing at the pace that it is right now, shots at big ones, shots at crazy good variety fishing. I mean, not uncommon to see yellowfin, bluefin, dorado, yellowtail all on the same trip. I'm shocked that there's even as much space as there is for the Tuesday night trip. But if somebody wants to get in on it, strike while the iron's hot, Mike, how do we find you and jump on board the Tribute?
Give Seaforth Landing a call, 619-224-3383. You can book through seaforthlanding.com, tributesportfishing.com. Always take a look at our social media pages, which is Tribute Sport Fishing, and see what we're catching. But, yeah, I mean, we've had some phenomenal weather and, you know, some of the best fishing of the year. And it's I would imagine you're going to see this stretch all the way through December again. It's just, you know, it's still getting better at times.
Yeah, right. Writing's on the wall. We're in for a really good fall. I'm totally with you. I don't think this is going anywhere anytime soon.
No, and our weather's finally settled down to fall weather.
Yeah, it took long enough, but it's here. Mike, great job. Yeah. Appreciate it very much. Glad to hear there's and like you say, man, what an opportunity to get on Tuesday trips. Light load as it stands right now, and the fish are biting. Appreciate it very much. We'll keep us up to date. We'll look forward to hearing another one hopefully next weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next weekend.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that very much. Well, Corey, let's jump back into those phones.
Let's do it. How about Ryan? Ryan calling from Irvine. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Hi, Ryan.
Good morning, gentlemen. My question is on bluefin fishing on a kite, and in what application is it appropriate to fly the kite with just the balloon by itself, or with the kite by itself? And it doesn't really matter when it comes down to using a rubber flyer to a deck flyer.
Okay, so definitely good questions. I would say the balloon by itself with no kite, we tend to do, to answer those questions would be based on the wind conditions. And the lesser the wind is when we'll have to scale down to just using the balloon by itself. The kite by itself would be in a relatively windy condition that is going to keep your kite up and keep it up easy, even with, you know, fish trying to pull a kite down and you moving around, the kite stays up. So the better the wind, the easier it is to keep the kite up. And if you can fish the kite without the assistance of the balloon, it just flat out saves you the cost of helium, which is becoming quite significant these days. It's very common to see the kite fished in conjunction with a helium balloon. It just allows you to make more mistakes, and it allows you to not have to constantly have the kite in perfect wind to keep it flying. So it's common to see a 36-inch balloon blown up and then attached to the kite. The helium balloon helps obviously provide a lot of the lift. It allows for lesser wind to be able to push the kite out away from the boat. So, and when when you are winding the bait back in, if you're busy dealing with the fish, eventually the kite with a balloon attached will just stay right up above the boat. You don't have to worry about the kite potentially going in the water, which now you're having to make a move and retrieve your kite. So the kite and balloon is a lot easier to fish, but it again includes, you know, close to a $50 worth of gas and balloon. And then we had like a kind of a hybrid of the two when Dwayne was in here last time talking about very light wind conditions of using an additional balloon above the clip just to help hold that gear out of there. So anyways, those would be the scenarios. It's basically all about the amount of wind you have. And if there's very little to no wind and you can't get the kite up, that's when you'll see somebody blow just the 36-inch helium balloon to help hold that bait up onto the surface and try to get it away from the boat.
And that's not a cheap venture, right,
no,
Rick?
I mean, that
helium.
And getting worse and worse and worse, man. It's difficult. It's one of those things. It's a gas, and they're using it for several different industries, and it's getting harder to find and more expensive. So,
yeah,
but,
crazy.
But, you know, part of it. But,
it is.
But catching those 200 pounds is pretty cool, man.
Are you kidding me?
That's pretty cool.
Not only cool, but even better to eat.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Why don't we grab another one, Corey?
How about Doug?
Doug
from Montebello. Good morning, Doug.
What's up, Doug?
Yeah, hi. I was wondering about the boiler rock. Two questions. Anybody fly fishing inside the boiler rock? And to what kind of fish is it besides calico bass?
Oh, man.
Boiler rock.
Yeah, good question, Doug, for sure. There's a group of guys up in the L.A. area that are hardcore on the fly fishing end of things for calicos, and they do it, man. They get them, and I think, I don't even want to venture on the world record. What it's something like 8 pounds, somewhere in that zone.
Crazy.
But I think it was from Palos Verdes.
Okay.
I might be completely off target, but I know that group is up there and does good and has fun. The other things you would catch would be probably white sea bass, maybe a halibut even if you got sand channels up against those boilers. Yeah.
It's a rough zone, man.
It is. And if you're throwing a streamer and a chovy type pattern or smelt, I mean, endless. I mean, you could probably catch a yellow.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a number of different things for sure. But, man, what a battle that would be on fly gear, right?
No doubt.
Tough enough with conventional gear.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Oh, good one, Doug.
Great question, Doug. Corey, got a text. This is a quick one, not a ton of time to answer, but I think enough. Good morning, boys. I love the chit-chat shows. Like Corey, I'm a freshwater angler, but I recently started surf fishing some of the local waters here in San Diego. What types of rig should I be fishing at this time of year? Also, it's my understanding that this has been a really special season. Is there anything different that I could expect from year to year? That's from Matt in Chula Vista.
Oh,
Matt,
man.
Remember to send your phone number there, too. We got to get you in that contest.
Yeah, right? So maybe you can retext the show in case you win the prize there. But, Matt, we are so fortunate in Southern California. You could go the Bill Varney style surf fishing, which is just simply using sand crabs or mussels or sidewinder crabs, anything you could harvest locally there. And you could catch surf perch, opali. I mean, it's endless, right? The things you could catch, halibut will eat that too, the bass, all of that. What I do is a little bit different. I grew up doing that kind of thing and did a lot of bait fishing. But my favorite thing is throwing a 5-inch swimmer, a 5-inch weedless swimmer rigged on a 7-aught Gamakatsu. That thing mimics a grunion or a bait fish of some sort. I might only get 3 to 5 bites for the day, but I can guarantee I'm going to have a legal halibut or two, a couple short white sea bass, and another short halibut. That's maybe a calico or a sand bass. I've had all of those in the same day. And so you just have to target it the way you want to do it, man. If you want to go catch fish and have fun, go bait. You want to catch a couple nice ones, use a bigger offering. And, dude, we live in the best place ever.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the Liberty when we return on Let's Talk Hookup after Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travel
travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Saturday, November 5th is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Come see seminars by saltwater experts, great deals on tackle from Shimano, like Terramar rods with TC4 blank construction. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 5th.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And Rick, such a fun show.
Yeah, this is awesome, buddy. I love it.
Just talk, dude, we talked about everything from Alaskan to grayling to calico, boiler rock fishing.
Yeah, I dig it, man.
Cedros, I love it.
Yeah, 2 hours is never enough time hanging out, talking fishing, and talking fun, but a great time. Well, it's time to find out whether we are going to have a caller or a texter as the big winner today's full-day trip on board the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing. And just us, Corey, you got to do the honors
of
the coin.
Let's do it, man. I'm flipping it. Here we go.
Okay. So today we have
a caller.
Caller.
It's going to Ryan. Ryan from Irvine.
Congratulations, dude. Right. You are totally stoked going fishing on board the San Diego. Captain Matt Brawla, Ryan Bostian, just... I mean, there's not a better operation out there, and so stoked to get to so stoked for you to get to do that. Well, again, yeah. Corey, so much fun, never enough time. I really, really do dig these shows and talking fishing for a couple hours and having fun with you, man. A great time. Yep, no doubt about it.
That'll be a tackle days, man. You want to come down and talk us?
November 5th. Yeah, look forward to seeing you there. That'll be our next live broadcast. Yeah, November 5th, we'll be doing the show right there at Fisherman's Landing. And hey, next week another couple of great shows coming for you. Next Saturday, Valerie Hope. Rich from Queen Charlotte Safari. Speaking of Queen Charlotte's, we're going to get to talk to Valerie. And the next Sunday, I've been pushing for it for a while. Can't wait. Going to be a very fun show. Jeff Roberto from Sushi on a Roll.
Yeah.
Good to have a fisherman and sushi chef joining us. That's going to be a really cool show. Talking about fish care, sushi preparation. Going to be a lot of fun. Big thanks to JP keeping us on the air. Big thanks to Adam keeping us on the app. And a big thanks to you for listening. Don't forget, today, 4 o'clock, this is your home. Padres versus Mets right here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. We will see you then.